welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart, looking forward to spending another hour with you this wonderful, beautiful week, spreading knowledge, sharing stories, taking time to visit with each other, just like we would in the privacy of our living rooms over a cup of coffee. How is everybody doing this week? I was asked to be a guest on a couple of shows this week, and one of the shows that I did with Mike Vera here on the network was about 9/11. And we actually recorded the show on 9/11, but we talked about the events from that fateful day and how it affected the nation, and we talked about different scenarios that we believed happened, which of course don't line up with what mainstream media has been spewing all these years. Everybody has their own theories and their own perspective on what happened, what really happened. And the general consensus is that it was an inside job and that the buildings were exploded from within. One of the things that I brought up was in regards to the morale of the nation and how people were affected at that time and how they reacted and just the general mindset of the people then versus now. And I wanted to go into some more detail with that tonight and sort of do kind of a reflective study on how things were then versus how they are now. When I say that, I don't mean specifically regarding the state of the nation, i.e. the political spectrum, but I mean as far as the energies of the people and how people in general have changed since that event, and broach the possibility that were something to happen now, and even in light of some recent events that have happened in our nation, how people react differently now as opposed to then. When we have a job, most people have what's called an annual review, and their supervisor will sit down with them at the end of that year and go over their strengths and their weaknesses and what they need to work on versus what has improved, hopefully, with them over the course of the past year. And then typically a raise would be considered based on how the review came out, although we're seeing that less and less in today's economy. Ideally, what we always used to see was at the end of the review, most people would get a raise based on their job performance. And there would be a percentage of what their cap was. You know, if you did a 30% better job, you'd get a 30% raise, etc. And I feel like it's important to go over that as far as this situation goes, because we have changed inherently. Some things people might say, well, that changed for the good, but other things, not so much. And as we approach these times ahead, I feel as though it's important to evaluate as a collective where we are now versus where we were then, and what can we improve upon? What can we do better? How can we better strengthen ourselves, our communities, our country, the world in general? What are some things that we need to work on to get us to the point that I feel would make us much more successful in the times ahead? Let's start off with back then. We talked about on Mike's show how we remembered the events, where we were, what we were doing, and how vividly everything that happened that day still sticks so permanently. It's ingrained into our minds, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, the general energy of New York and the country. One of the things that, for me, was so promising in the midst of such a horrendous scene was the fact that everybody pulled together in New York City, in the state, in the country. There seemed to be a sovereignty that hadn't been felt in a really long time. People expressed sympathy and empathy and did things on individual and community levels to help support people that had suffered in the wake of the aftermath. Prayers were sent, energy was sent to the families who had lost loved ones, to the people who survived that were struggling with what they had witnessed and their own horrific personal experiences as they tried to escape what at the time seemed sort of Armageddon-ish, at least if you were in the city at that time. And there was just a feeling of love and support and caring for each other that I do see today on some levels. But I have to tell you that even though there were people that filmed the events back then and caught clips on cameras, it seems as though people were more readily willing to help than just film and do nothing. And that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed recently, is when there's a crime in a community or something being done to another fellow human, people just film and watch. They're not as quick to jump in and help the person or save the person or animal, whatever the circumstances are. They're more willing to tape it to get views and notoriety on social media. The lack of empathy today, the desire for cheap thrills and cheap publicity to promote their station, their channel, their page, to a place where they can get money or be sponsored. That just blows my mind. I don't understand how people can witness another human or living soul struggling, and rather than step in to help them, they just film it. I just saw a story not 10 minutes ago before I started taping about, it was in Louisiana, and I'm going to assume it was New Orleans area because I know the person that posted it lives in NOLA. And he was talking about a flood and how a car drove into a body of water, and the person filming it contacted two police officers, and the three of them watched the car with an elderly man go into the water and did nothing. These are two people, meaning the police officers, that it's their duty, it's their job to protect and serve the public. Yet they stood by watching as this person was going to potentially perish. And a bystander jumped in and rushed out and broke the windows and saved the elderly gentleman. It just so happens that the rescuer works for or in the medical profession. And my thoughts and prayers go out to both he and to the gentleman that he rescued. But what was going on in the minds of the cops and the guy that was filming it? I understand that the guy filming it was for some sort of media, you know, network, a TV channel or something, but how can you? How can you in clear conscience witness a person dying and do nothing? And the people that are getting paid to protect us do nothing? Over and over, the riots, the movements that happened a couple of years ago where people were breaking into storefronts and robbing and stealing, but not just robbing and stealing, destroying every ounce of these stores that people had worked so hard to build, in some cases spent their whole lives. Some of those companies were multi-generational establishments. Some of them were legal immigrant families that had come here for a better life and struggled to provide a better way for their family. And in an instant, their windows were smashed, their goods were stolen, and their place was trashed, destroyed, thousands of dollars. Other people just filmed it. Nobody told them to stop. Nobody tried to stop them. They just continued to watch. And even more insulting was frequently on that type of videos, you can hear people around, which would indicate a small group or a crowd, making comments and laughing, egging them on, inciting them to do more damage to other people's personal property. I've also watched social experimentation videos where there was one in particular that was very troublesome to me. It was where they had a small child, and the child was walking down a sidewalk in a crowded city, and they had prearranged for an adult male to come and grab the child and cover its mouth and carry it off down into a side street, into an alleyway. And they filmed it. And they filmed over and over again women walking with their own children, who had children of their own, witnessing this and just looking on and passing by. Grown men, able-bodied men, watching this situation occur and just walking by. People who were looked to be physically healthy and could have easily deterred, if not overtaken, the fake perpetrator and saved that child. There was one woman out of 8 or 9 cases, I believe the video had, where it was a young woman, a young girl, and she was probably in her early 20s. She saw what happened and ran down the alleyway to try and save the child, and then they came out with the camera and they pointed to the camera across the street and explained that it was a social experiment and thanked her for her response. Isn't that something we should be doing on the regular? Is that something that we really need to be thanked for? I'm not saying that the woman asked for that, and I'm not indicating that the people felt the need to thank her for being out of the norm, although they did. But the fact that that exchange even needed to happen blows my mind on some levels, because those are the things that we should be doing without thinking twice. When you see someone in trouble, you help them. When you see an animal struggling, you help them. There have also been many positive videos out there and uplifting videos of a mom, deer, and a baby fawn, and they're on a highway and they've been separated and people stop and kind of shush the baby over to the mom and get it safely off the road, or instances like the one I just spoke of where there have been social experiments or things just randomly caught on camera where people did help others. But as a general rule, it's more people filming these atrocities with voices in the background, or the person filming, or both, commenting, laughing, look at that, oh my gosh, and not doing anything. That's something that I feel has changed. And I felt like after 9/11, because everybody came together and it was such a wonderful movement energetically to support and love each other in the aftermath of something so tragic, that, wow, this is going to set the precedent for how we are as a country going forward. This is great because this is how we're going to be from now on. This was our wake-up call. People are going to be more readily available to help and to express empathy and to send love and to send energy and to send food and to send tents and sleeping bags and help clean up the city and help recover people's loved ones out of rubble. This was a clarion call for me that I truly hoped would set precedent for future times. And instead, what I've seen is a rapid decline in morals and values and markedly more apathetic behavior than empathetic. While I could say that mostly that's the younger generation and the way that they've been raised or are being raised, or the fact that they aren't being raised at all in a normal, structured, moral, and supporting environment, so they don't have anything to draw on. That may be the case, but there have been lots of instances where the people filming were 30s, 40s, and my age. So it seems to be across the board. While I will admit, it does absolutely seem to be a lot of the youth, because a lot of younger people use TikTok and these different social media apps. But overall, the fact that anybody is witnessing these events and not doing something to help, it's pretty upsetting, disturbing. Since the events of 9/11, we've raised a whole different generation that have been entitled and are me, 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 and selfish. With the degeneration of the family unit and children being raised by daycares or televisions and not being instilled with these family values and these morals that are essential for them to be able to use as a guidepost as they're growing up, as they're being reared. Not only the apathy, but the general lack of caring and the open, almost disdain for people who are suffering is also deeply troublesome to me. What about the punch games, the videos that are being circulated and have been for quite some time, where people are randomly going up and punching the elderly or young women, girls, teenagers, people who are developmentally disabled, people who are sick? They're just going up and punching them and knocking them down and laughing about it or beating them up. Horrific cases of people being physically abused in plain view in an open air scenario on a street or in a classroom, in a school hallway, in an apartment building, and others are just filming it. The pure evil that resides in these people is also something that disturbs me. Also something that has been spoken about in the Bible. These are the end times, according to biblical scholars. We're broaching and in, depending on, you know, people's individual perspectives on where we are on the timeline. But either way, in their opinion, it's coming. This is an indication. These are all signs. The love for our nation as a whole also is something that I see overall a change in. We just recently lost Toby Keith, who did a plethora of songs on, well, 9/11 in particular, right? I think, but just standing together as a nation and pride in our country and red, white, and blue. And he was known as an advocate to do USO type shows where he would go and visit with service people and meet veterans and injured people, injured service people in hospitals, and let them know that they were important, spend a few minutes with them, sign some autographs, take some pictures. Generally, just overall supportive of the American service person. And when he died, a lot of people my age felt an emotional tug, a sense of loss, because he had done so much to boost the morale of our country. And I saw a video of, I think it was a football game, where they played a few of his songs. They kind of did a medley, and people stood up and sung and held hands and cheered, and that was really nice to see. Obviously, the people who previously were patriotic are still patriotic. That hasn't changed. The people of my generation that have always been loyal to and love their country still do and support it as much as possible. But with the rise in toxic liberalism, not just liberalism, but toxic liberalism, and all of the Black Lives Matter and Antifa and pink hats for the ladies, declaring women's rights, all of these movements and all of the insanity has pushed that side of the spectrum, I believe, much farther and in a much more openly insane manner than we ever would have been able to have imagined back on 9/11. As I'm recording this show, I just got notification that there was yet another attempted assassination on former President Trump, which also is pretty unprecedented for today's times. Last guy they tried to kill was Reagan. Thankfully, the former president, Trump, is okay, but that also brings me to another thing that's different now as opposed to 9/11 is because of the ability to spread word and news via the internet across the globe so readily, there are so many different podcasts and shows out there, and the rise in what the liberals would call conspiracy theories, in my opinion, has also been something that there's been a pretty major increase in. Now, why is that? Are they really conspiracy theories? Or is more information coming to light of some things that the government has done or is doing nefariously? And we just have whistleblowers and word is spreading quicker? Or is it stuff that's put out there to tweak us, to make us look over here in this direction while they're doing something over there that they shouldn't be doing? I've said for years on my shows that a lot of political arena is much like the Roman Colosseum, as is entertainment and the Kardashians, all of that. However, in this case, the rise in conspiracy theories, especially from what I'm seeing, TikTok has been a huge component for spreading conspiratorial theory information, right? So we have that. We have platforms that we didn't have before. We have Twitter. We have, well, now it's X or Z or whatever the hell he's calling it, is X. And we have TikTok, and Facebook is huge, and all of these things that we didn't necessarily have before. I mean, I can remember fondly being a member of MySpace and thoroughly enjoying that platform, but I was mostly sharing music. I wasn't on there looking at news stories. You know, I was talking to family and friends. it was a social platform. I don't remember there being a lot of news stuff on there then, and maybe I'm wrong, but to my recollection, it was basically an entertainment platform that allowed people to talk to each other. But with the rise of things like TikTok and all of that, that's a huge shift too. So what's up with that? Is it something that allows us to get the news quicker and so more people are aware of situations or possible situations? Is it an attempt through Facebook, let's say, let's use them as an example, to put out these fake news media hosts and shows on both sides of the spectrum to keep us fighting, to keep us at war with each other, to keep us separated? I think it's a combination of both. I think that because we have information readily available and because there are more people that are driven to be whistleblowers and come forward with truths that are pertinent to ourselves and our families and our nation's safety, that we're able to access all of that much quicker than we were before, and we're able to follow it. And I also believe that there are people that are paid plants that are out there and paid shills that are out there that are getting rich off of feeding us fertilizer. And while we're on the subject of feeding us, that's on the radar also. We have GMOs in our foods. We have chemtrails in our skies. We've had for years killer poisons sprayed upon the food that we eat. So that's something that's on the rise. Yes, it happened back then, but not to this extent. Seems to be there's a pretty heavy push to poison the population. And then we can go into the whole vaccination thing and the rise in autism on children who were vaccinated, the amount of vaccinations that are required by children or for children nowadays to enter into school, and what exactly are in those vaccinations, and then the jab as a result of the whole COVID fiasco. All of these things were not factors, or at least as much of a factor, back on 9/11 as they are today. Even though back then prescription drugs were pushed for people who had anxiety and all of these new terms that have cropped up and fancier terms for the new terms that have cropped up, ADHD, ADD, and all of the subsidiaries. That wasn't as much of an issue back then. And the pushing of Big Pharma wasn't as prevalent as it is nowadays, as well as the vaccinations and the jabs. What has that done to our physiological bodies, our minds as a whole? And how has that affected the interconnectivity of the species as a whole? Not to mention all of the stress and emotional trauma and emotional pain that was caused from forcing people to remain separate from their families and their loved ones, not able to attend weddings, funerals, visit their loved ones in a nursing home, go out and socialize with friends. They isolated. They were looking to break the psyche, and they succeeded on so many levels with so many people. How many people have given up their lives for this? This is depravity in its truest, rarest sense. It's disgusting, it's abhorrent, and we shouldn't have allowed it to happen, but we did. And why did we? I have to wonder, truthfully, if it's not as a result of all of these things, this giant ball of wax of all of these issues that we've had to deal with since 9/11. If we were in the same physical bodies back in 9/11 and had the same physical makeup and emotional makeup back then, would we have stood for this now? I think that raises a pretty good question. Now, I could play devil's advocate with this and say, well, a lot of people have woken up since then and people just weren't awake until 9/11. 9/11 woke a lot of people up. And while I would tend to agree with that, the things that were put into our bodies, whether by choice or not since that time, the emotional trauma that has been just totally bombarded on us as a result of the whole COVID nonsense. All of that made us different people. It changed a lot of us inherently. Some of us aren't even here anymore because of that. Would we as a people have stood for this back then when we weren't as messed up mentally as we are now? Another thing that I wanted to bring up is the physical well-being of the citizens of the country and the world back then versus now. I look at pictures of the 60s and the 70s, photos of friends and families on beaches and on vacation. There is not a single heavyset person in those pictures for the most part. And when I say for the most part, I'm discounting my grandparents, okay? Because they were older and my grandma was a little bit heavy. My grandma had stomach cancer, and so her stomach blew up. So she appeared overweight when really it was basically air in her belly that made her appear that way. And my great-grandparents were, my great-grandma was a little bit chubby. A couple of aunts. But for the most part, everybody else was thin. And when I look at pictures of family events with extended family and with friends, you know, for the most part, everybody was pretty physically fit. And that stands for, even historically speaking, when I Google images from beaches in the 70s or the 80s. Nobody was heavy like they are now. My son recently took another trip back to his home country of Italy and posted some pictures of different beaches in Italy, and I can honestly say that I did not see one overweight person at all on any of the beaches in Italy, because they live differently. They pay more attention to their bodies, they exercise regularly, and they eat better food. They don't have the GMOs that we do in their products. They eat much more healthily and much more organically. But in this country, junk food culture, all of the crap that we put into our bodies, I am absolutely in shock as I've started to come back to my home state more frequently over the course of the past year. And with each successive visit, every store that I go into, I am almost, if not the thinnest person in the entirety of the store. That includes patrons and workers. I am not as tiny as I used to be. I used to be 92 pounds in a size 1 and then a size 3. Right now I'm like a 3-4, working on that solid 3, but still in all, everybody virtually is bigger than me. And if I go into a health food store or a vitamin store, there are maybe a couple of people who are in shape. But even there, people are overweight. And in most places, grossly overweight. How can these people, if they're able-bodied service people, defend our country if they were called to do so, compared to back then? Back then, if something happened and we had to go to war, I would feel a lot more confident with the physiological makeup of our soldiers than I do now. And let's not even broach the whole pink tank thing, majors and generals in dresses thing, break a fingernail, I can't fight thing, right? Yeah, I'm being sarcastic right now because it scares the hell out of me that my country may need to be defended by people who get their panties in a bunch if they don't have a certain breakfast bar at their camp. I'm, you know, making this up, but you get my drift. They're entitled. They're lazy. There's no drive. There's no listening to authority. The rules aren't the same as they used to be in the military. They get away with a lot more than they ever used to. So the regimentation is not there. The discipline is not there like it used to be on a lot of levels. Ask me how I know, because I work with service people. I've worked with service people and veterans for years. There are guys that are clamoring to get out because they cannot take the changes that have been made across the board. But generationally speaking, we've got kids in black t-shirts and sweats with dollar store kerchiefs on their faces that are thinking that they're rough and tough coming out of mommy's basement supporting Antifa that they're funded, thank you, George Soros, to do. But how tough are these guys? My 12-year-old daughter could have kicked their ass when she was 12. And then we have the mental problems. We have these people that took the jab or took these chemicals into their body or had these treatments to change their natural, God-given physiological makeup. What has that done to their minds? And even in the instance of not even talking about mental instability, the way that they're being raised and the way that society is teaching them to live, there's no accountability, there's no responsibility. You put these guys on a playing field in a wartime scenario, or let's just specifically speaking about the 9/11 incident. I had friends, I had really good friends and family that volunteered to recover bodies and dig through the rubble during the wake of the aftermath of that horrific incident. I could envision today's youth, if they were asked to perform such a task, not being mentally capable of handling the task and flat out refusing because it was hard work. You want me to dig through rocks? You want me to walk a quarter of a mile to dig through rocks? You want me to lift a finger? Exert physical energy? Are you kidding me? So all of that. Yeah, I'm going to get off my soapbox now, and we're going to have a break. After the break, we're going to talk about what we can do as individuals, as family units, as communities, as a whole, as a collective, to change things for the better. And what can we do to make it better than it was back then? What can we do possibly to prevent something even more horrific from happening to us as a country? Is there something that we can do? We're going to find out after this break. You are listening to the Positude Podcast here. And oh, by the way, earlier when I said that it was on my Michael show that I did the interview on this network, that was one of the three networks that I'm on. So I apologize for that gaffe. The other two networks, you're not going to find Michael because he's not on there. Or me doing the interview. But whatever network you're listening to me on, please support the network. We are all totally listener funded, and we rely on your donations to keep us going and to bring you quality content. Please contact the owner and make a donation. Whatever you can do, I'm sure he'll be happy to receive. And if you want to be a superstar and you have your own business and want to sponsor an ad on our network, whether it be on my show or any of the other fabulous shows or just on the network in general, please reach out on the website and we'll be happy to accommodate you. If you need to get a hold of me for any of your spiritual, physical, mental, or emotional needs, please contact me at Maggie, Maggie_Hart@outlook.com. Maggie_Hart@outlook.com. My music is provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, an original musician from Louisiana, and also sometimes from my good buddy Bear, Barry Cooney. Tonight I'm going to play a song from Buried during my musical intermission, but my entry and exit music is provided, as always, by the lovely Pat Carr. Please support his music. You can get in touch with him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. We'll be back after this. Thanks for listening, everybody. Back for the second half of the Positude Podcast. That was my good buddy Bear Barry Cooney. If you liked his music, please give me a shout and I'll make sure he gets the message. While that song may have been morose in some aspects, it speaks to the living soul. The soul lives on, and that's one thing we all need to remember. I lost a friend this week, a friend to suicide, yet another one. And had I known of his personal plight, I would gladly have taken the time to spend with him to let him realize how much he was loved, how special he was, how great he was as a person, to remind him all of the times that he helped another individual out, even at his own expense. And a really great guy, and I wish him well, and I know that he's floating around there somewhere in the afterworld and looking down and smiling, because the soul doesn't die. It's called back up, but it doesn't die. So there you go, Barry Cooney. And one other thing I wanted to bring to everybody's attention that's changed a lot since 9/11 is how many personal freedoms have we lost? Some of which you might say were kind of as a result of 9/11, right? The whole TWA thing, what we have to go through now to bring a jar of clay on an airplane. It's a true story. I was in North Carolina bringing back a jar of red clay because I thought it was pretty. And I almost missed my flight because it was organic material and they thought it could be a bomb, right? So all of that. Yeah. So what can we do to change this? Well, I've been giving this a lot of thought. And even though it's something that I speak about a lot on my shows, maybe I can put a little bit of a different spin on it tonight, and maybe it'll sound like the same old rhetoric to you because it's not resonating with you yet. But my hope is that tonight, finally, if it hasn't before, it will absolutely resonate with you, with every fiber of your being. We need to come together as a whole. We need to stand as one. We need to join together and stop all of the adversity and stop all of the diversity and truly recognize that we are connected not only with other humans, but with every living thing on the planet. And everything on the planet has energy, so therefore we're connected with everything on the planet energetically. So what affects one of us affects all of us. And while some of us have chosen to take something into our bodies that we know is not the best choice, and there are varying degrees of consequences that are being paid as a result of those free will choices that people have made, what we need to understand in our hearts is that a lot of people were uninformed. And maybe they've woken up, quote unquote, since then. And they realize, oh my gosh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Or they've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost several. I bet you have. Acquaintances, friends, family members. We're all suffering together in varying degrees. And we all have good days and we all have bad days, but we all struggle. And we need to make each and every one of us feel and know that they are loved, that we're important, that we're special. And I realize I'm changing from third party to first party here, and I'm not being grammatically correct, but I'm hoping you get the essence of the message here, which is, we need to love one another truly, truly, as we love ourselves and as we love the higher power, the creator source. Whatever you believe that that is, we need to spread the love. We need to keep the positive vibration flowing. And we need to stop the adversity and come together. It's so important in these times. So much has changed since 9/11. Some things maybe for the better. Overall, I think that things have changed for the worse. But because this is the Positude Podcast, I'm going to retract that statement and say, things have changed, but I know we can make them better. And I know we are making them better. We are making them better. See how that works? Just one sentence, one phrase, and look how I changed that up. We are making things better. We are better. We are better now than we were then. Why are we better now than we were then? Because we're going to stop fighting with each other. We're going to start supporting each other. We're truly going to walk in the spirit of love and light. And that means that we're going to help our fellow brethren. We're going to help that wounded bird that we see on the side of the road. We're going to help a houseplant whose branch is broken or whose stem is broken. We're going to sing to it. We're going to talk to it. We're going to go out in nature and grab that vitamin D and soak in that sunshine. We're going to pay for the person's groceries in front of us, that extra $10 when they're short and they need formula for their baby. We're going to shovel the neighbor's sidewalk or rake their leaves. We're going to hold that door. We're going to prepare a meal for a sick family. We're going to bring food to the widow. We're going to live in a spirit of giving and a spirit of knowing that we do have the power to change things. While some may say that it's the power that's given to us by Creator, and I do concur to a degree, we were also given the power to be able to affect things and change things with love and with positive intent and thanking for things as though we already have them. See the world the perfect place that you want it to be. While we know we're broaching some tough times, if we are thankful for the dandelion that we see growing in the grass because it's a burst of color in an otherwise normal lawn, green. If we look at the bird that's singing in the tree and can appreciate its song, all of these simple pleasures, the feel of the ground beneath our feet, and we need to get out and we need to ground with the earth, not with rubber-soled shoes, barefoot or in moccasins. Somebody questioned a statement that I made a couple of weeks ago on the show about, well, you told somebody to go in there and get a bucket of dirt and bring it inside if you can't ground to the earth and do that. How's that going to help you? Because there's still residual energy of the earth in that dirt. It's not going to be as potent. It's not going to be as strong. You're not grounding as well with the magnetic energy, but at least you're going to get something. It's better than nothing. One slice of bread when you're hungry is better than nothing. You understand? Everything that we can do, every little thing makes a difference. We are a ripple in a pond. I've been saying it for as long as I've been on the air and longer. We need to start grassrooting and getting to our community meetings and changing things from the ground up. And we need to know that we're going to be successful in our endeavors. Even though some people feel we're broaching the end times, biblically speaking, we still have the potential to be successful during these times. I don't want us to live in fear. We will not live in anxiety anymore. We're above that. We're beyond that. We're better than that. We are. You know it. You know this. You don't need to hear me tell you this, But sometimes hearing that other voice maybe will make you really resonate with it today. That's my prayer. That's my hope for today. That somebody out there, even one person, resonates with this message that hadn't previously. With all of the depravity that's out there, I'm going to see a world of love and light. I'm going to see everybody helping each other. I'm going to see us come together. And I am seeing us. And I believe that we've come together. I know that we've come together as a collective whole in one mind, in one spirit, to share and spread the love. There is no fear. There is no anxiety other than what we create in our own minds. Do you understand that so much of what we're living is truly as an illusion? Do you understand that you have the power to change all of that based on your thoughts and your vibrational energy? It's got to be the whole package. You have to believe it. You have to feel it, you have to know it, and you have to vibrate and resonate at that frequency. I still have people telling me I don't have it because you're not fully embracing the concept. I myself am guilty of this at times. I'm not going to sit here on my soapbox and tell you that I'm perfect because I'm not. I'm on my own journey just as you are. Some of you may be farther ahead on that journey than I am. Some of you farther behind. Who cares? Do the best you can. And I'm not going to say with what you have, because what you have, the possibilities are endless. There's a blank check there with your name on it. Write the damn check. Sign it. See it. See it in your bank account. And with whatever blessings you receive, pass them forward. Spread that to someone else. If you find $10 out in the parking lot tomorrow because you were manifesting money, but you didn't have all of the vibration that you needed to truly manifest it. So instead of your $10,000, you got $10. You got $10. Be thankful. Know that you're on the path and know that energetically and vibrationally you're getting there, and make it happen. But take two of those $10 and buy that homeless person a sandwich. What can I buy for $2? Go home and make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and bring it back to them. Obviously, don't give them the money so they can buy booze with it, right? Give them food. Spread it. Share it. It'll come back to you tenfold, sometimes 100-fold, maybe 1,000-fold, whatever you want it to be. However you want it to be. As well as living in love, send out healing vibrations across the planet. Picture everybody on the earth, whether or not they took the jab, whether or not they've been diagnosed with cancer, being healed. Teach them how to heal themselves in the methodologies that I just showed to you. Believe it, it's done. Be thankful because you've already received it. See those tumors shrinking. See your body being restored to full health. And say, I know, and I'm thankful for. Trust in that, but have the vibration to match it. And maybe we'll talk about how to do that more effectively next week, but you've got the concept. It's all within you. It's all within each of us. Thank you all for listening. Have a great night. We'll be back next week. Good night, everybody.